morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning for our Monday morning biweekly producer power call. We have a lot to cover, and I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning with Scott Harris. Scott?
Thank you, Tia, and welcome back to everybody. We haven't had a power call in a few weeks, several weeks actually, and as Tia pointed out, we certainly hope you enjoyed your 4th of July holiday and got a chance to get together family and friends, enjoy a couple cookouts, maybe a little hot dogs and apple pie and beer. I know Steve especially enjoyed the beer part of it, but welcome to the power call. And we had a lot of new listeners the last several power calls, and just to reiterate the purpose of these calls, Steve and I meet with clients regularly, and it's so important to fill them in and to educate them on what's going on in the economy today. We used to call these disturbing tracks, so to speak, but then there's really a lot of disturbing tracks out there because of what's going on globally with economic issues overseas with their sovereign debt problems, unemployment here. But it's important that you share this information with your clients. It obviously helps transition into easier sales, but educating your clients as to why you're doing the things that you do for them is so important. And these we talk about during our power call will help you, I guess, get some good power phrases and information that you can then share with your clients. Well, let's just wrap up what's gone on the last several weeks in the economy here in the United States. You know, we've all heard of what went down with Obamacare, and I'm not going to, bring that up and beat a dead horse with that one. But, there will be some challenges with Obamacare, and if it actually does go through and get voted in. But one of the things I was talking, in fact, this past weekend with some doctors, and one of the things that they are very concerned about is Obamacare does not address anything regarding what's going to happen with the actual doctors. And they're very concerned about what their role is going to be in this whole medical system. And as a result, a lot of them are deciding to retire early. So that's something that you may want to consider taking a look at if you work with any people in the medical professions. If some of these doctors are going to be bowing out, because if they do, they're going to be taking with them significant dollars into their pension plan. So kind of keep that in mind if you are working in that healthcare field. Let's talk a little bit about the markets and what went on last. Of course, we did have a holiday week last week, so it was shortened with the holiday on Wednesday. And, of course, volume was off. It generally is off during the summer months, in particular if there's a holiday during a week, because once people are taking vacation, a lot of the traders in New York go up to their summer homes in the Hamptons or what have you, and so volume drops off, and as a result, volatility increases. Last week, we saw the markets close out. In fact, last week on Sunday, we saw the markets close out for the month of June. The Dow was up 3.9% in the month of June, and it's now up at 4.5% for the year. On Friday, the Dow closed at 12,772. You know, one of the big things that happened a couple of weeks back was it looked like there was some progress in the sovereign debt issues overseas regarding the Eurozone, in particular with Greece and with Italy and Spain. And, that obviously drove the market up dramatically, about 270 points in one trading session. Look for more of this nonsense to happen, because now all of a sudden reality is coming into play. People are realizing this isn't going to be as easy as we thought. And I'm going to discuss a little bit of what's going on with the Euro bonds, in particular what's going on with Spain and Italy and their bonds. And really, the bottom line on what's going on over there as far as solving their big problems with their sovereign debt. But what we ended up happening in this week, there's a lot of things that are going to happen this week that are going to affect the market. We are seeing earnings for the second quarter come out this week. Alcoa, in fact, just announced this morning they disappointed. It's going to be, I think, more of the same regarding companies. A lot of disappointments. In fact, we just saw 42 companies have already warned investors that profits will be lower than expected due to the slowing demand of consumers around the world, in particular Europe. Company announcements have been the worst since the fourth quarter of 2008. So keep that in mind. We saw what happened in 2008, 2009, what happened to the stock markets. They dropped dramatically. A lot of people are thinking that we're going to see the same thing happen this second half of this year. There's just nothing out there to drive the markets. If earnings are going to be disappointing, if the employment rate, which we saw come out on Friday, is going to disappoint, if we see slowing growth overseas in Europe is going to be slow, we have a big problem here with our economy and essentially our United States stock market. I was reading an article over the weekend, and Adam Parker from Morgan Stanley, he's a chief stock strategist over there, he predicted that the S&P 500 will finish at 1167, about 14% below where it is right now. So once again, fasten the seatbelts. It looks like we're going to be in for another rough ride the second half of the year. It's going to be challenging, a lot of volatility, a lot of hand-holding with your investors if you are one of those fellows that likes to get your clients involved with the stock market. You know, one of the things that Steve and I learned over our 25-plus years in the business, things don't always work out well if you do try to stay long-term in the stock market. You know, Steve's in the background chuckling a little bit because we learned some very difficult lessons many years ago, and as a result, we did get more and more involved with safe money. And I highly recommend that if you haven't done that already, take a second look at maybe what your clients are doing and what the risk allocation model is of your clients' portfolios. In fact, I just had a client last week before I left on vacation, actually the week before. He called me up and he said, you know, I'm really concerned about my portfolio. I'd moved him into bonds, primarily bonds. He might have had 30% in stocks, the rest in bonds, and he also had annuities. And he called me up and said, I'm really concerned about what's left in the stock market. He said, I really think I need to have more money in safe money. And he essentially said, sell some of these stocks off and some of the bonds. I want to put more money into an indexed annuity. So this is what's happening right now. Take a second look if you are managing money. Take a second look at your client's portfolio. Take a look at their age. Take a look at what the allocation model is within their portfolio. Find out if they're too risky right now. You know, the market's up not too bad right now, as I said before, 4.5% for the year for the Dow. It may make sense to take some of those profits off the table, reallocate into some type of an index annuity, or even to add on to an existing index annuity. I know Steve and I have been doing a lot of that, particularly with your older contracts that have high bonuses and high roll-up rates. We know Steve is going to be talking about what's going on with some of the new products because some of them are lowering their rates, as we had talked before. So it does make sense to even add to some of your new contracts if your clients are in that need of, again, getting a little bit more conservative with their portfolios. As I said earlier, we also had an issue with the unemployment rate, and this has been the big troubling factor with our economy, and it looks like it's going to continue. We just saw the unemployment rate remain at 8.2, but the job creation was only 80,000 for the month of June. Not a whole heck of a lot. That just doesn't make any sense for us. 77,000 jobs were created in May. We need, for the last 3 months, there's something like 225,000 jobs that were created. In order for our economy just to keep up with demographics, okay, for our economy just to keep up with demographics, we need to have about 225,000 jobs, new jobs created every month. Essentially, we've created 225 the last 3 months. You can see that that does not bode well for our economy and for our overall people who are looking at helping to pick up the economy by actually making money through a new job. So we're seeing big, big problems there. Obviously is going to have some problems going forward with this, particularly with what policies we have in place with our president. And what does all this weakness mean? What is this going to happen? What's going to happen going forward? The Federal Reserve now is in a difficult position, and Bernanke is going to come out, I think, within the next week or so, and he's going to testify in front of Congress. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on Bernanke now to do something, to do some type of stimulation within the economy regarding interest rates. But, you know, let's take a look, see what we had. You know, in our last power call, we had quoted the 10-year Treasury at 1.6%. It's lower. It's about 1.54% as of Friday. What can they do here? You know, what can they do here? What their goal is to sell off some of the shorter duration Treasuries and buy longer duration Treasuries to help push down the longer-term interest rates. And what their whole goal is, the Fed wants to drive people out of fixed income. This is what they want to do. They want to drive the average investor out of fixed income, meaning CDs, meaning shorter duration bonds, and into more risky type of investments. This is supposedly supposed to help support economic growth. And really, the bottom line here is they want more people to get involved with the stock market. So how about that? They're going to increase wealth by putting people into stocks. They want people to go into stocks, increasing their own wealth. Now, we know what's going on here. We see the trend demographically. Baby boomers are aging. baby boomers don't want to have a substantial amount of risk. They understand they need to have some for the long-term future, but they don't want to have substantial risk. So here we are going with a counter trend. We have all these baby boomers, you know, 78 million of us going into early retirement or retiring or have already retired, and they want to pull back the reins. They want to go more into fixed income. They don't want to go into the stock market. Yet the Federal Reserve says, let's push down interest rates even further and get everybody out and into the stock market. Makes a lot of good sense here, doesn't it? So this is the mentality that we have right now with the Federal Reserve. And quite frankly, there's not a lot more they can do here. There's a lot of discussion within the Fed saying, look, we can't do anything now. Let's wait for some major problems. I mean, obviously, we've got problems, but let's wait for a major meltdown before we try to do anything. So look for Bernanke to probably try to come out and say, we're going to do something, but maybe not in the next month, but maybe in the next 3 months, we might do something regarding interest rates. But this does not, again, bode well for what's happening in the economy. They just have run out of bullets. They cannot do anything for the economy in a big way to help stimulate growth. I mean, realistically, how much more lower do people want on a 30-year loan on their investments? I mean, not on their investments, but on their mortgage. You know, I was out looking around the other day at a 15-year note. You know, they're now hanging around, 2.9% if you want to get a 15-year mortgage. And a 30, you know, you're talking in the vicinity of high threes, low fours if you want a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. So, you know, if people haven't done anything yet, I highly doubt an extra eighth of a point is going to make much of a difference. So this is some of the things that we're going to be dealing with going forward, how the Federal Reserve is going to help stimulate the economy, particularly when they've run out of bullets. We also saw things happening overseas. You know, we've talked about the big problems over there. It looked like they had some kind of solution worked out. But that, believe me, folks, that's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. There's significant problems over there in Italy, Portugal, Spain, Greece. You name it, what's happening over there, and that's not going to be a problem that's going to be solved overnight. What they're doing is they're just funding it with more debt, kicking the can down the road, trying to address, you know, their high expenses. The big problem is people don't want to work over there like they do over here. We've got problems here, but the average work week over there is about 30 hours. People don't want to work more. They don't want to work well into their 60s like a lot of folks do here. You've got a problem, but yet everybody has their hands out just a lot like a lot of folks do here, looking for the government to help them out in their retirement. Well, you know, when the economy is flush with money, that's fine, but when things slow down, those obligations just cannot be met. So there's going to have to be a change of their overall mentality when it comes to working, when it comes to how much money they're going to be receiving upon their retirement. And that's going to be a very big problem that's going to be addressed over a long period of time. And as a result, Europe is going to be in a quagmire when it comes to economic growth. We just, in fact, saw the Spanish bond. I saw an article the other day. The 10-year Spanish bonds are at over 7% now. So how in the world is Spain going to be able to bail themselves out when their government bonds are a little over 7%? You know, here, as I said earlier, you know, we're at 1.54 with our 10-year treasury. The Spanish 10-year is at a little over 7%. Try to finance a deficit at 7%. Man, it just doesn't work. You know, Italy is experiencing the same problem. Their 10-year bonds at 6.15%. So here they are. They've got serious debt problems already, and on top of that, now the interest on their debt alone is significant, so high that they cannot afford to pay it, and it does not look like that's going to change anytime soon. So we've got problems there. Asia, meaning in particular China, they are slowing down. In fact, their inflation rate was at 5 to 10%, again, depending on the province that you're looking at. It's now hanging right around 2.2%, so China is slowing down also. On top of that, we have the Bush tax cuts that are expiring at the end of the year, and Obama came out recently and said that we're not going to have any problems with the middle class. Anybody who makes up to 250 grand, we're not going to change anything. But those in excess of that, we're going to start hammering away, and we're going to attack the wealthy. Obviously, this is a big campaign slogan or trend for him. He wants to make it seem that he is, you know, helping out the middle class, and he's going to hammer the wealthy. Well, the big problem he's going to find is that a lot of the Democrats that are supposedly in his corner do not like this proposal, because a lot of these wealthier people have helped support them to get reelected. So that's one thing that is going to be some serious negotiations the next 6 months. and look for that, obviously, to affect what's going on in the market. As far as what's happening with the elections, it's pretty close right now, but once again, it depends on who gets reelected, because I'm feeling that if Romney does get elected, we'll see a nice run at the end of the year with the stock market. But in the meantime, look for more volatility, look for more just kind of slugging around, look for more just lackluster employment numbers, and as a result, we just have to just stay in touch with our clients and make sure that they feel comfortable with the things that we have done for them. Okay, I'm wrapping things up right now. Steve is going to come on up and share with you a little bit about what's going on in the annuity world. There have been some significant changes, so make sure you listen very closely, because you don't want to go and present a product that might be a little bit outdated when it comes to caps or when it comes to bonuses. So, Stevie, take it away.
Great. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I want to kind of address some of the changes that are occurring on the products, or some of the more popular ones, just to make sure you are aware. The deadlines, make sure you have the new forms, et cetera, because, and I'll kind of talk through those, and then I'll kind of try to put that in some perspective. The Allianz Master Dex X, which is the number one selling fixed index annuity in the business, that change is already in effect, so there's no use rushing out to try to get paperwork today, because the change is already in effect. What they did on that product, there was really only two changes. They lowered the front-end bonus from 6% to 5%, and the simple income rider will now grow at 6% simple interest every year instead of 7. So that is already in effect. Going forward, then you can obviously those are going to be the rates. As Scott mentioned, if you have old contracts or clients who've been in it for a couple of years, with the Allianz Master Dex X, clients can add money to that product the first 3 years and get whatever bonus was on the product at the time it was offered. I actually have some clients I've added money to that have 10% bonuses. They're almost coming up at the end of the third year, but they can add money to that, and they can get a 10% bonus, and there still is 8% on the simple income rider. Now, obviously, when you're adding money in year two and three, the commission is half of what it is if you put it in a brand in year one or a new contract, but you still do get commission, and there is no new surrender charge period for the client. It does not extend the surrender charge on the new contributions. It's still 10 years from year one. So look at that as an opportunity, maybe for some existing clients who are in the product, older products, and want to add money. They can do that via that method, or obviously you can do a new contract if you just want to diversify a bit. Now, please, before you go out and present anything or bring paperwork, make sure you have the right forms. So the best way to do that is the disclosures get updated, obviously, every time the bonus change and every time the simple income rider, that percentage changes. So go to the website and print out the current disclosure statement. Okay, to make sure you have the right ones. If you need help, email Tia or give Tia a call here at 866-324-3800, and we can make sure you have the right forms. Because the way this business is nowadays, you know, we used to just get a lot of the forms and, you know, put them on the shelf there, and then when we had a case, we'd grab them off and run out and, you know, get the client to sign those. But with all the changes to the forms constantly and changes in regulations and changes in bonuses and et cetera, there's really no need to keep a big stockpile of forms in your office. Just print them out when you have a case. Everything's online. Takes 5 minutes to do it. Or once again, if you need Tia to help you, call us at 866-324-3800, because you don't want to get the wrong form signed, because it's embarrassing to go back out there again to the client and have to get the form signed. It's a big hassle to do that. So, once again, just go to Allianz's website or give Tia a call or email her, and she can go ahead and make sure you have the right forms. All right. This is not kind of new news. It came out last week, so I want to make sure you know about this. Aviva is making some changes to their two product lines. So I'll cover what those are, and then I'll go over the dates, because there is still some time to lock in the old products. On the Lifetime Solutions annuity, which is kind of similar to the Master Dex X, they have that banded. So if you have a bigger case, 100,000 and above, the bonus will now be, is going down from 6 to 5%, but the roll-up is still going to be at 7%. Right now it's 8. It will move down to 7%. That's simple interest. So that is very, very competitive over 100,000. Under 100,000, not as competitive. The bonus is going from 5 to 4 and the roll up from 7 to 6. Okay? On the old series, the multi-choice series, the bonus is going from 6 to 5 and the lifetime pay roll up is just being reduced by a quarter from 6.25 to 6. Okay? So all these changes will be effective on the close of business this Friday, July 13th. Friday the 13th, it will be effective. They are not taking any faxed applications. So that means if you want to get the old bonuses and the old roll-up rates, you've got to have that application overnighted to Aviva by Thursday. So it's in their hands Friday, unless you plan on flying up to Des Moines personally and delivering the application, which I guess if it's big enough, it may make sense to do that. All right, but basically it's got to be overnighted by the 12th to be there on the 13th. They're not taking any faxes, okay? Also, if it's a rollover or, you know, you're getting funds from another place, as long as the app is in by this Friday, the end of the business day, the funds are there before August 27th, so what's that, about 6 weeks? That's pretty good. Gives time for the money to get in. The client will get the new rates, I mean, get the old bonus rates and the old roll-up. So you do have time. So you had that client on the fence, I'm not sure if I want to do it, or they've been thinking about doing it. This is a great time to call them up and say, guess what? Rates are dropping. You know, the bonus is dropping, the roll-up is dropping, but we still have time. We have 4 days, including today. We can get that paperwork done. You can lock in the old rates, the old bonus. So it's a great closing tool if you had clients that are thinking about it or were, you know, weren't sure what they wanted to do or wanted to wait or whatever reason that there may be for them procrastinating. Here's a reason not to procrastinate, to go out and lock in the old rates, and you still have 4 days to do that. So once again, if you need help with that, let us know. So for this week, obviously up through Thursday, you'll still be using the existing certificates of disclosure and disclosure statements. But starting essentially next week, make sure you download the new disclosure statements when you go out and present and get paperwork signed. Otherwise, it's going to be rejected. So you have this week to do this on the Aviva annuities. If you need help, call us 866-324-3800, and we will help you get the forms, make sure everything is right, and see if you can lock in some of these higher rates and higher bonuses before they drop at the end of this week. All right, now let's put this into perspective a little bit, okay? Because we sit here and we go, boy, we don't like it when rates, you know, bonuses drop or the roll-up rates drop, you know, because it's, you know, we want to go out to the clients with those big numbers, that 8% bonus or that 10% upfront bonus. But we need to keep this in perspective, all right? The reality is a 10-year Treasury bond sitting about 1.5%, and it's been low for years now, for years now. So ultimately, the most important thing that I want from these products is my clients, and the reason they're buying these is for the guarantees, whether it's the guarantee against loss. You know, the guarantee their principal won't lose money, the guaranteed minimum interest rate, the guaranteed income for life. So the most important thing is for me, and I think for you as an advisor, would be to make sure that the companies can back up these guarantees these clients are counting on. And for them to do that, they have to adjust these rates and bonuses and roll-up rates and caps and things when rates are low, particularly when they're low for a period of time, because they're obviously investing most of this money in bonds. They're getting less yield on the bonds. Then they have to adjust the products accordingly. Even though we don't really like it, we have to realize it's the best thing, because by doing that, then they're going to be able to back up the guarantees they're offering, and really that is the ultimate benefit. The client isn't going to remember 12 years from now or care whether he got a 5% bonus or 6. He's going to care that his check is still coming in every month for the rest of his life, and the company that he's with is strong and is going to provide him that guarantee and give him that peace of mind. So ultimately, that is the most important thing. So we do want them to have to, they need to adjust these products when rates are low. It's just a fact of life, and it's the most important thing because clients are buying these not for the 6% bonus versus a 5 or the 7 versus a 6. They're buying it for the guarantee. So the number one thing the company has to do is make sure that the guarantees are going to be able to be met. And to do that, they have to adjust the products when interest rates are this low, particularly for this period of time. Frankly, if there's a company out there that hasn't adjusted, I have to wonder what they're doing, because that worries me when they don't adjust the products when rates are this low for this long. Because that means they're probably, what they're doing is buying bonds that you're yielding higher than maybe what Aviva and Allianz are doing. Well, they're buying bonds that are yielding higher. Those bonds are lower rated. They're higher risk bonds. So when we have another recession, which we could be on the verge of, or God knows we have another financial crisis, which we could occur with what's going on in Europe, a lot of those, more of those bonds are going to default, and maybe that company is going to end up in trouble. And I don't want to have that conversation with my client, that this company that we presented to them as safe, as a company that was going to be around for longer than they were, going to give that income for life, is now potentially in, you know, rehabilitation or in bankruptcy, or they're getting downgraded. That's not a conversation you want to have with a client, okay? So that's why you're better off going with a bigger, stronger, higher rated company where maybe the roll up is a little lower, the bonus is a little higher, but they're going to be there to provide those guarantees, and they're going to be around, versus a company that's out there, you know, trying to beat the market. Oh, we got a bigger bonus, we got a bigger roll up, but to do that, they have to take more risk, and we see when that happens, that risk can blow up in your face. So remember, the most important thing is the guarantees. And Scott and I always laugh because remember, it's about 6 years ago or so is when Aviva first rolled out the first income rider on a product and an indexed annuity, a fixed index annuity. And at the time, we went to the kickoff meeting. It was a 5% upfront bonus, and the lifetime pay rider was 4%. And we thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and that's when CD rates were 5%. And it was a great product. Clients, we did a ton of business with it. It was a phenomenal product. Even though CD rates were 5%, guess what? You can't get income for life for a CD, and you could see when those rates renew, what happens? Now they're 1%. So now, just looking at, you know, say Allianz, you got a 5% bonus and a 6% guarantee on the roll-up, and also with Allianz, you have the ability to take a little lower income up front and have it indexed to inflation, something we didn't even dream about 5 or 6 years ago, and CD rates are 1%. So we got higher roll-up rates, same bonuses, and our competition, let's say in a CD, is gone from 5% to 1%. So you're telling me on a relative basis we're not in a way better position than we were 5 years ago or 6 years ago? We are, even with the reductions in the caps, reductions in the rates, the bonuses, and the reduction in the roll-up rates coming along, we're still relative in a better position. Stock market, how's that done? Not too well, right? The market today, S&P 500 is where it was in 1999. So is that really an attractive alternative for a lot of clients? Bond rates are even lower, too. 10-year treasury down to 1.5. So everything is relative. You have to look at the product relative to what the client's other options are at this moment, not what things were 2 or 3 years ago. And at this moment, again, a 5% bonus with a 6 or 7% roll-up, a guaranteed income for life, guaranteed principal, guaranteed minimum interest rates, the ability to even have your income go up with inflation every year, there's still nothing out there that can beat this. And we're seeing on the variable annuity side more and more companies getting out of the business, reducing their riders, getting rid of them completely. Pretty much the fixed index annuity is the best game in town right now and the best way to provide your clients some peace of mind and guaranteed income for life. So keep that in perspective when you see these rates and these roll-up rates and these bonuses dropping. Keep it relative. Here's the thing. The client doesn't have any idea. If you go in next week and show them the Masterdex X with a 5% bonus and a 6% guarantee in the roll-up, they're going to love it. They have no idea, well, 2 years ago it was 8%. That's in your head. I can't go in with something that it's only 5 when it was 8. The client doesn't know it was 8 3 years ago unless they have an existing product. And remember, you can add to it with certain companies. They're just happy to get 5% up front. CDs are paying 1%. That's 5 years on a CD right up front. 6% guarantee on the roll-up. Guaranteed income for life without annuitization. Could even index my income for inflation. You know, 10% free withdrawals if I need the money. I mean, are you kidding me? It's still a phenomenal option for them for part of their money compared to everything else that is out there. So keep that in mind. All right, that's really what I have to say. Once again, if you need help, call us, 866-324-3800. We will help you with the products, make sure you have the right forms, any cases you need to work on, need advice on, which product will fit best, or how to position these. That's what Scott and I are here to help you with. The Tia can help you with all the forms and getting this business pushed through and make sure everything goes as smoothly as possible. So if you can help you with anything, give us a call. Otherwise, we'll be talking to you soon. Take care.